In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet again, we have a gospel passage that needs to be understood in a larger context, because it doesn't really make sense until you understand what happened before. So we have to back up to the beginning of chapter 21 in Matthew's gospel, where we hear about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Of course, that is the event that we celebrate on Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered into triumph in Jerusalem, and the people strewn their palms and garments along the way and proclaimed him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he was, but not in the sense that they thought. So Jesus enters the city in triumph, and the first place he goes is to the temple, of course. And there he begins to cast out the money changers, those persons who took the money and so the temple tax so the people could go and worship. And he turns over the tables and he says, you know, this is my Father's house, you shall not do this. And then he begins to call the people who needed healing, the ones who could not walk, those who could not see, those who needed to have demons cast out. And during all this time, there are the temple rulers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders. They're all standing there and they're watching all this miraculous event that's unfolding in front of their eyes. And they become jealous in their hearts, and their hearts become very hardened. And so they go to Jesus and they say, by what authority and by whose authority do you do these things? In other words, they were right there in the spot challenging the Lord. Now, the Lord was challenged many times by these folks that thought they had all the answers and were keepers of the law and keepers of the worship and keepers of all the things, and he never took the bait. He never allowed himself to be caught up in the traps that they would set for him. So he turns the tables and he says, now I will ask you a question. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Was it from God or was it from men? So they have to decide. So you can imagine this group of people who are feeling jealous that they've seen all the wonderful things that the Lord has done, and now they have to answer this question. So they have this little tete-a-tete amongst themselves. You can just imagine like a little, you know, little gossip circle or whatever, and they're trying to decide what to say. And so they come back with a wonderful answer, and it probably was honest. We don't know. In other words, we don't want to commit. Because if they said the baptism was from God, well, then they should have participated in it, correct? If John truly was a prophet, then they were the ones that should have heeded the call to repentance. But if it was for men, and they said it was for men, then all those other folks that opened their hearts and rended their garments and repented of their sins would turn against the Pharisees. And so they say, we don't know. Well, they did know, because they saw what was happening in their very midst. Again, people were regaining their sight and the ability to walk, and demons were cast out. But they couldn't let go of that pride, that power, that position, and that sense of pride that they had about their authority. They just could not do that. They were so stuck in that, that even in the midst of what they were seeing, they could not let go. So then Jesus tells them a parable. And, you know, the parables, we've been hearing parables for weeks now, right? Various parables. You can do basically whatever you want with a parable. You can plug this in or plug that in. But Jesus uses a formula that even the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests would have understood, and that is the father has two sons. And he uses that time and time again, especially in Matthew's gospel. And each of the sons represent one group. So he says to the first son, son, I need you to go into the vineyard today and work. And the son says, no, I will not go, as sons are wont to do. But then he repents. He has a change of heart, and he goes into the vineyard and works. He goes to the second son, and he says, son, I need you too to go into the vineyard and work. And the son says, I will, but he doesn't. So the sons represent what? The first son represents the sinners and the harlots and the tax collectors, those who said they wouldn't listen to God. But when they saw Jesus and the miracles that he wrought in the middle of their eyes, they did repent and they turned to God. The second group is the sinners, is rather the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the chief priest, who thought that they held the truth. And they said they would go into the vineyard, but they never did. They thought that their truth was the only truth, and that was what they lived by. They lived by their pride rather than by their humility. So I ask you, which of the two sons sinned the more? They both did. They both did. It's not about what they did. It's about the disposition of their hearts after they did it. The ones who said they wouldn't go, and then they did go and turned to God, God accepted them and embraced that love because they were able to empty themselves. The other ones, they turned from God completely and are broken and lost, but God still has mercy on them. Pardon? Oh, that's all right. That's okay. That's okay. So the parable teaches us that there are those who can let go and those who hold on. Are you those, or am I, those who hold on or those who let go? What do we hold on to that's so important in our lives? Is it stuff? Is it things? Is it possessions? Is it a position you have? Is it something you want? What is so important? What do you hold on to? And then what can we receive from the Lord God? Well, I think the lesson from Philippians points us in the right direction. Paul says, have this mind in yourself, be one with Christ, who counted not himself equal with God, but emptied himself, and being born in the form of a servant, humbled himself even unto death. When we empty ourselves of our pride and the things that we think are important, and we make room for the Holy Spirit to come to us, God blesses us, sends us forward, and accepts us. And when we do that in servanthood, we need to take it and we need to share it. We need to take it to the world out there that thinks what it holds on to. Just look at the world today. Power, position, authority, all the things that, you know, out there in the world people think that are important. But we need to be examples in Christ of that great humility, of emptying ourselves that we might be filled with God's Holy Spirit, that we might go forward, that we might say always yes to God, even though sometimes we'll say no. And when we do say no, then we say we're sorry, and God says, okay, I still love you. I still love you. I heard someone say in the time that we shared, and I'm kind of getting used to that. That's new for me, but I accept that. And I heard somebody say, you know, God loves us so much and takes care of us. He does, and we should remember that. And when we do remember that, that's the time for us to empty ourselves of ourselves and live fully and completely to Almighty God. May we have the grace to do so and the humility to do so, and may we also have the courage to share it with others as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.